had a pretty exciting December in the Capanna household. We had a lot of exciting and just controlled chaos is probably the nicest way to put it. In the midst of all of this season, this very difficult and busy season, the Capanna family managed to lose Jesus a few times. And I don't mean that in a spiritual sense. We lost our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the little figurine, in our nativity scene on a pretty consistent basis. We got as our inheritance from my grandparents this year, their nativity scene, which sounded nice. I thought they liked us until I saw the size of this thing. It's enormous, okay? Well, I should have known when I called my mom and she said, you know, come pick it up, bring your truck. This thing is huge. It's the set that gets added to every single year, and it's been around for about 150 years, so you can imagine the size of this thing. Now, I mean, you kind of know the main story, right? You get the manger and Mary and Joseph, the beasts, and an angel or two, and maybe a couple of sheep there, and a shepherd and the wise men. That's kind of what you expect. Well, this set somehow just became kind of a scale model of the not-so-little town of Bethlehem, because you have that right in the center of everything, and then next door is like the hotel district. It's not just the inn, but it's got this huge archway, and it's amazing there were no room at that inn because it's enormous, and it has all sorts of little figurines next to that. And next to that is the textile district of Bethlehem. I bet you didn't even know they had one of those. But there's a weaver's shop, and there's rugs that go out, and then there's weavers that are there working. And I think maybe there was some sort of like quilt show going on at Bethlehem. Maybe that's why there was no room at the inn. But it's enormous. And then to the other side, you've got the king's tent, the king's quarters. And I can see why these guys would have taken years to get there. Setting up camp would have been a nightmare. These guys are glampers. They have so many things there, and it's somewhere between a Best Western and a Four Seasons is their campsite. And it's enormous. And then the shepherds, which I always thought were outside sleeping, no, apparently they have some sort of major camp under the trees. And so I'm not joking. This is, you know, 50 to 100 little guys, and what we discovered is that it's a virtually indestructible set. And I know that because we have a four-year-old. He was our little angel up here today. And he loved playing with this thing. But the set is enormous. It's a separate wing of our house now with our nativity set. And it's got all these, you know, beautiful little LEDs just like the original Bethlehem, right? And every day, you know, you kind of put these sights up, these nativity sets up, sort of remind you about the season to sort of inspire your heart. Well, this became the biggest stressor and a point of contention in our house over the last couple of weeks, because every time I would set it up just the way I wanted it. I prepared it. I had it all right. The lighting was perfect, everything. And then a couple hours later, I would come back and see it, and all of the figures had been moved, right? And it was sweet at the start. You know, they would all be kind of gathered around, and then all of a sudden, in the last couple of days, Santa shows up, and Darth Vader shows up, and all of these other toys. I didn't even mind that, really. It was sweet. What I minded was when we started to lose Jesus on a regular basis. He's pretty important to the story. And what would happen was Sam would love to play with these guys. And like I said, they're indestructible. Jesus fell a few times on the floor and doesn't break, so we're okay with him playing with it. And he'll play with it around the house, and you know, one day he comes in and he says, "Dad, I can't find Jesus." You don't want to say that to a priest, because I'm going to sit you down for a long time. We'll go over the four spiritual laws and all of that kind of stuff. But he says, "I can't find Jesus." And so that, the first time Lori found him, and I said, "What did you do?" And she said, "I just prayed, Jesus, I want to see you." And there he was. Last Sunday, amidst all of the chaos of getting ready for the pageant, all the costume changes and all of that kind of stuff, Sam brought Jesus with him to church. You should all do that. I really encourage you to bring Jesus with you to church. And we lost him. We're getting ready to go. And he says, "I can't find Jesus." So we're here an hour after everyone else has left. scouring the church to find Jesus. And at one point, I truly actually exclaimed here, if I can't find Jesus in the church, where can I find him? Like I said, this is a chaotic time. Okay, it's not just the baby. It's not just Christmas, but it's everything. It's a season of over-preparation. You know, we have a three-week-old at home. Guys, we did not plan that well, okay? Sam was a summer baby. There was nothing going on. It was a vacation. And now it seems like all of our time constraints are just doubled, tripled, just magnified everywhere. And we're exhausted, okay? I pray for longer just so I can close my eyes for a little bit more, okay? You know, in our family, we've always had this motto, you know, no second trips. That's changed, okay? Now it's just remember to bring the baby in on one of the trips. Because our expectations of what we are as a family, our kind of baseline of acceptable chaos has sort of shifted, you know? Peace and quiet is a relative term. Slept well is a relative term. And what I've discovered is all of our expectations, all of our planning, all of everything that we put together, no matter how much I think through it, I'm always going to leave something out. I'm thankful that it hasn't been one of the kids because, you know, there's always something, okay? You know, I always forget one pair of shoes. Or I forget that we need to bring a present to this place. Or that we actually need to be dressed nice to go to this place. And I've already said to people that basically, when I say we'll be there on time, it means at least an hour and a half later than what I said originally. It's just, there's so much. And I'm so tired. And I love to come to work because I can relax here, you know? And then the Christmas on top of it. You know, some of you don't have little babies at home, but you know that this season is just filled with that kind of chaos, isn't it? You know, you've got lists upon lists upon lists of things to do. And you know, you can crack in this season for sure. And one of the things that I've discovered is that it's really easy to actually lose track of Jesus. Not just the little one. But you can lose track of where Jesus is in your life. I had this moment last night, wrapping our last minute presents. We're getting everything ready. And I'm running around in circles. And 2 hours past my bedtime, as if we have a bedtime anymore in our lives. And I'm just thinking about, I need to do this, I need to do this, I need to do this. And I felt like God just said it right away. And he said, you know, you're never going to be prepared enough. You're never going to be prepared enough. Because all of a sudden I started to think like Christmas is about what I'm going to make it. I've got to make it meaningful. I have to make it joyful. I need to do the work to meet the expectations that I've established. But I'm never going to prepare enough. I'm always going to fall short. But isn't that what this season is really about? We're never going to meet the level where we're prepared to meet Jesus. We're never going to, on our own, be good enough or smart enough or wise enough to meet Jesus. This is a season where we can never be prepared enough. And this isn't a new problem. I have to imagine if Mary was type A and she was diagramming her life plan 9 months before Christmas, say, the next 9 months were nothing like she had planned. What about with Joseph? What about with anyone in this story? This is a season where God is breaking into our expectations. This is a season where we can never be prepared enough. Isn't that the whole story? A virgin on the back of a donkey getting ready to give birth? How do you prepare for that? Or Joseph headed to a town where there's no room for his fiance to give birth? Or these grimy shepherds in the field that are said, go and meet God, he's in the village. Who's prepared for that? Who can plan and prep, clean off the stains of this world to go meet someone so holy? But the season that we're in is a season where God breaks through our plans, breaks through our ill-preparedness. God defies our expectations. In that moment when you say, there's no way I can prepare enough. There's no way I can be good enough. Is the moment of Christmas, isn't it? Because it's in that moment that we understand that God is breaking through. God is saying, make room. When we know we're not prepared, we invite God in. And isn't that what Christmas is all about? Inviting Him in. Making room for that grace. Not because of anything that we prepared. Not because of who we are, how good we are. But instead, in our ill-preparedness, our inadequacies, in our failings, that's when we go to meet Jesus. And Christmas is that season when God says, make room. There's no way you can be prepared enough. But that's God's job and not our own. This is Christmas, the season where God breaks through, where God meets us, no matter how prepared we are. This is a season where God invites us home. He gives us hope. And so make some room. Let's pray. Let's just take a moment to invite God to speak into our lives, to say just what He needs to say to us. Father, we pray for abundant joy, that You know our shortcomings, our failings, and therefore You know just how in need we are of a Savior. Help us to continually recognize we just can't do it on our own. That we can never prepare enough. But that You have broken through with grace. That it's by Your goodness, by Your mercy, that we're saved, that we're invited home. Lord, I pray that this Christmas would be a season of homecoming in our hearts. That we know our true home is with You. You are our greatest gift. Our greatest treasure. And Jesus, we adore You now. And it's in Your holy name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Amen.